come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And that's Numbers 24:17. Love is patient.
It is not hurried.
Love is kind.
It is not harsh, rough, or hurtful.
It does not envy.
It knows no other gods.
It does not boast.
But only God rises.
It is not proud.
It is humble.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking.
It is thoughtful and compassionate.
It is not easily angered.
It is understanding and sympathetic.
It keeps no records of wrongs.
It forgives.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Jesus is the truth, and the truth is his native language.
It always protects. Always trust.
Never doubts.
Always hopes.
Never fears.
Always perseveres.
Love never fails.
It always succeeds.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you let us love abound more and more in us. Increase our knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and pure and blameless until the second coming of Christ. Fill us with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Good morning. I think the rain has kept everybody away on Christmas, Sunday before Christmas. We're a little slim this morning, but glad to have everyone we've got here this morning. I'd like to say before we get started, I really appreciate the flowers, the cards, the texts, the emails, the visits, anything you've done. The time of our Lose My Mother means a lot to me. I can't even explain how much it means. So thank you for that, and ask you to continue to pray for us as we try to go forward. And going to be tough this time of year, we know, but we do stand in need of your prayers. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning? No, continue. Remember Maldi. Remember each other as we, Christmas time is, can be stressful if we allow it to. It's supposed to be a joyful time, but we allow the commercial side of it to get us all stressed out and upset and ill and angry. But let's try not to do that this year. Ask you to pray for our Christmas Eve service. I'm excited about it. Be ready for it to be here, and it's, we got some singers lined up, I hope. Corey said, I told Corey he was voluntold to sing, so I'm excited about that. So come out and be with us Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock if you can. We'd love to have you. Bring if your family's over at your house, that's great. Bring them with you. We're not going to keep you too long, but there's no more important place than being in the house of God on Christmas Eve. So I appreciate you. Allow us to do that service. Any other prayer requests or anything before we get started?
I have a praise report.
Amen.
My soldier made it home about 3 o'clock this morning.
Amen. Y'all remember the ones working and some sick, I'm sure, this morning, different things. So I remember them as we pray. Any others? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to live. God, I thank you for your gift you sent to us years ago, God, and how he still gives. And Lord, we thank you for this church. Thank you for what everyone means to us. God, we thank you for the hospitality and the kind words we've been shown through the passing of my mother. And God, we ask you to bless them in a special way. God, we ask you to touch them this morning as our singers come to sing, that we'd sing in no other reason than to bring honor and glorify to the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we go in this Christmas season, this last week, God, we pray that you truly let us see what that gift means to us. And without him, we'd forever be lost. I thank you, God, and I praise you and I ask you to be with us as we preach. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Well, stand and join us in our call to worship.
The shepherds came to see a baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
I hear the angels, I hear the angels singing. Hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born.
Shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone inside. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night.
I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. Glorious. Glorious, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. I heard that Jesus Christ is born.
All is calm now, all is quiet, a star shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
Amen. Let's take time to welcome those around us this morning.
Repeat the sounding joy.
Repeat the sounding joy.
Repeat the sounding joy. with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love.
Here may be his coming, but in this
kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord?
Glad it's just Corey I was having to follow. Just kidding. Great song. Always enjoy hearing him sing it. I like that song. If anybody sings it, but Corey does a good job with it, so thank him for that. You got your Bibles today. Very Christmassy Christmas message. The Lord's laid on my heart. His simple title is The Glorious Birth of Christ. The Glorious Birth of Christ. We are dead in the middle of Christmas, and we will hear it and we'll say it a million times about what it means to us and that. But I want you to see for just a little bit how that God was in play in every part of this, in the birth of Christ, from the virgin birth down to the place he was born, the people who was around, the praising that went on, and also the proclaiming. God was right in the middle of it. And today, understand something, he's the same God. He hasn't changed. He's the same God that give us this great gift. He's still allowing this gift to save men, women, boys, and girls. If he wasn't, we would be gone. We'd be at home. So he's still got a reason for us to be here. I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. You don't have to stand. Very, very familiar story, as you've heard it probably a thousand times this Christmas season. But don't get to the point of where you're desensitized to it, because it's a great, great message. It says, and it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor, was of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in that same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now even go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered in all those things which were told them by the shepherds. Father, we thank you again for this story. God, we thank you for the meaning of it, what was given to us on that precious night. God, I pray for just a little bit this morning, you'll let us open our hearts and minds that we may see the glorious birth of Jesus Christ. For it's in your name we ask it. Amen. To start with, I want you to look at the place that Jesus was born, a very, very humble place, a little town called Bethlehem. And if you begin reading, going into the meaning of Bethlehem, the meaning of it is a house of bread. How fitting is it that the bread of life was to be born in the house of bread? God does not leave anything out when he does something, and it amazes me of that. And this city, I looked this morning to make sure I was right, but this city at the time of Jesus' birth was a small village. You couldn't even really call it a city. Now, when it was the city of David, it was a pretty booming place, but at the time of Christ's birth, it was just about a little small village. Wasn't much to it. So God decided to send the best gift that's ever been to a little old small village where there probably wasn't any kings. There probably wasn't any rich people. There probably wasn't any dignitaries. But bless God, there were some people there who would treat them like they need to be treated, I believe. It's why it's there. And number two, it was there because he said it would be at that place. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Lord prophesied where he would be born. It said, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephraim, though be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. There's to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." So there we have the prophecy that he had to be born there. Now listen, if he would have been born anywhere else, we couldn't believe the Bible. So God always makes sure that his word is not contrary to its own self. He had to be born in Bethlehem. That's the way that God wanted it to be, and that's the way it was. And it amazes me again of how God chose something so small, a city so small, for that son to be born. Now, if I was a king of kings and lord of lords, and my son was going to be born, I'd probably say, let's take him to New York City and put him in a town, Times Square. But God didn't do that. He chose to put him in the smallest city he could put him in one of the smallest places, and with people there that wasn't much to him either. So he's born in this very, very small place. The Savior of the world come to one of the smallest villages that there was. What about that? The very Savior that would save mankind from sin was born in this little bitty, tiny village where there wasn't any rich people. There wasn't any kings. They probably wasn't any big fancy motels, by the way, but thank God there was an inn. So he chose this place of Bethlehem, the house of bread. But I want you to notice also that not only did he choose the house of bread and the place there, he chose the people who were to be around. The people who were to be around. It says there were shepherds watching their field by night, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding their country, were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I began studying this out, and I knew something had to be there. There is a Jewish belief, and we don't know, it's not in the Word of God, but a Jewish belief that the sheep that they was watching was the sheep who would, the lambs who would be sacrificed in the temple. Now think about this. The shepherds who was there watching these lambs who would be sacrificed for the sin of mankind was the ones that God had go when the Lamb of Lambs and the great Lamb was to be born. That not only was they keeping the lambs that was to be sacrificed there in the temple, they was to see the one true Lamb, the Lamb of God, who taketh away all the sins of the world. What a miraculous thing it was that he not only sent to this little place, but he sent to these small people. These shepherds who that people believe shepherds to be smelly, they believe them to be poor, they believe them to be all of this. And why did God choose to send this glorious son to a small place and choose to have old regular shepherd boys out there to be the ones to see the son first and to be the ones to proclaim him? Well, why did he choose that? I believe it was telling me and you today that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how lowly you are, no matter what position you hold in life, Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save all who are lost. To the very lowest of them, to the very highest also, but Jesus came to every single one of them. Thanks be to God today that you don't have to be something special for Jesus. Thanks be to God you don't have to be some high up and some king to see the Lord. Bless God, he chose the first one to see him, an old poor shepherds out there abiding in their field by night. And can you imagine what must have went through their mind when the angel showed up? Now, you may think in your heart, well, I would love to see an angel in person. Well, I'll tell you something. I believe if you could see that, it would probably scare you to death. How would you like to be in that shepherd in that field? And all of a sudden this light come on, these angels show up. I don't know about you, but if God didn't calm me right there, I'd probably have a heart attack. I'd probably pinch myself and said, surely am I seeing what I is, but seeing what I think I'm seeing. But these shepherds was there, and God chose them to be the people who would see the Son of God, the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was to be viewed by simple, simple shepherds, probably watching over that herd that would be sacrificed at the Passover. Now think about this. The angel come and told them there was been a babe born. You need to go see. And I bet you being the shepherds. Now if you've ever studied about a shepherd, they was very loyal people. They didn't just run out on their flock anytime something come up. They watched over those sheep. They cared for them. But how special they must have known that baby was, because they had to leave those sheep, I believe, to go see that baby. Those very sheep that was to be sacrificed for sin. You see, I believe the Spirit of God had some way showed them that they was going to see something special that nobody had ever seen before. They was going to see the Lamb of God. They had seen many lambs, Terry. No doubt as a shepherd, they had saw all kinds of lambs. But my friend, they was about to see a lamb like they'd never seen. They was about to see the lamb that could take away. Not only was it good for one time a year, but they was going to see a lamb that when he was sacrificed, he would take away sins of all mankind for years after years after years for eternity past. Oh, eternity to go on. What a blessing it was for the people that he shown. Just coming men that God would give a job to. If you go on through them verses, you'll find that God says that these shepherds are to go spread the word and tell about this baby that has been born. Hey, I don't know, but I've been thinking about this. You know what the meaning of pastor is today? Is shepherd. He still chooses just those lowly people like me that ain't much good for anything. You can say amen right there. To go and spread the word of God and to tell people about the best thing that's ever been done. Now thank God that he chose us and he's still choosing us, and these men still giving into the call of God on their life to go preach the gospel to a lost and a dying world. So you see the place. You see the people. Have you ever thought about the praising that went on that night? Luke chapter 2 verse 9 through 14. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now this is why I said they were so afraid. Or the Bible said that, but I said they was really, really had to be afraid. Can you imagine the glory of the Lord? Can you imagine what a light that was, people? That probably blinded them almost. God probably had to put his hand in front of their eyes, or it would have blinded them. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And this shall be a sign. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find him a babe in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Have you ever thought about that word host? The word host in that verse means an army. There was an army of heavenly hosts that came to those shepherds that night. Think about this. Those shepherd boys, I've told you they're just plain people. But the praising that went on in that field that night when those shepherds came. I mean, those angels came and it was around about them. And a whole army of angels encamped about them and was praising God. And said, glory in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Have you ever thought about this? There's been times that we've been in church services where things was good. There have been times we've been in services where you could feel the Spirit of God on your heart and on your life. There's been times when there was no doubt that God was there. But my friend, I've never been in the middle that I know of a heavenly host of angels, heavenly host of heavenlies. Can you picture what they were seeing? The praising that went on. These angels knew there was something different about this child because they knew who it was. They knew him. They knew who this was, and they couldn't understand why he was to come. You begin studying out about these angels, and angels are they don't understand grace. The Bible tells us this. I was trying to see if I put the verse down. I don't believe I did, but the angel says in 1 Peter, I think it is, they desire to look into the grace of God. They can't understand the grace. You see, they knew all the angels that was thrown down when old Lucifer went away. They know all of that, so they strive to look into this thing of the birth and the grace of Jesus Christ. The praising. Oh, it must have been something. Now just imagine one angel coming to you in person or in angel form, whatever you want to call it. And then imagine a whole army. What great praising they had to be. The heavenly host become visible. And all this army was praising God for what had come to earth. Luke chapter 2 verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, what was told unto them. You see, not only was these angels praising that night, but after the shepherds saw the birth of Jesus Christ, after they laid eyes upon him, then they too could praise. You see, when they had just heard about him, they didn't know what to praise. They hadn't seen him. I think that speaks to us today. There's a lot of people in our churches, we say, why can't you praise God? Will you ever think about this? Maybe they've never seen him. Now, we've never seen God with our eyes, but I'm talking about spiritually. The shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Church, if we had heard and if we have heard and seen from God today, we need to be praising him, don't we? If we've heard and seen and God has spoke to our hearts at some point, we need to give him praise. The Bible says if we hold back our praise, the rocks will do it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want no rock getting my blessing. I want to be the one getting that blessing and not a rock. So the praising, oh, we can't imagine what must have went on. I think about this. I wonder what everybody thought about these old shepherd boys. I wonder what the talk was. Have you heard what these shepherds are talking about? Have you heard the praising that's going on out in those fields? Man, I don't know, but them shepherds must have got a hold of something good. They must be something running through those streams that we don't understand, that they're drinking out there or something. They are just having a time. You see, they yet to understand what the shepherds had seen, what they had laid their eyes upon, the very Son of God. You got to get this now. This was the very Son of God who created everything, come down, was born in human form in the lowest place around, in Bethlehem. We know he was lying in a manger. We've heard it sung, all this stuff. We've heard all the Christmas plays about it. We know that the shepherds was there and all these things. And we know about the praising we've talked about that was going on. The very Son of God had come to earth. And you know why he had came? Why was they praising? I believe they knew that their sheep was important. But when they met the Lamb of God, they understood that there has never been a lamb and never would be a lamb as important as the one they seen. In church today, if we could see the birth of Christ as the angels revealed to the shepherds and as the shepherds laid their eyes on Christ, laying there in that perfect little baby form, if we could just see what he means to a lost world, we would be different. It would change us. This Christmas, they would be praising in our houses. They'd be praising at our family get-togethers. They would be praising all around if we could truly see what the angels saw. Now, I know they had angels come. I mean, the shepherds saw. I know the shepherds had angels come and relate this to them and tell them what was going on. I understand this, and the angels and the glory of God being there in the place was what made it different. But don't you think that if God sent the glory on those angels that came down with a heavenly host, don't you think when the shepherds lays eyes on that little baby boy that there was some glory with him also? Don't you think there was a light about him? Hey, the Bible says that he is the light of the world. And if he was put in this earth, my friend, there was some light there in that stable that night. I know we've all seen the Christmas movies where a ray of sunshine or moon, like moonshine, I guess, comes down and shines on that thing. I want to tell you, I don't believe it needed no light because the man who created all the light, the one who spoke light into existence, bless God, he was laying in that manger. What about that? You see, we tend to think this little child just laying there. But oh, this was the glory of the Lord. This was God Himself in human form there in front of these shepherds' eyes. So definitely there was some praising. And we're going to get done early today. I must have started early. The proclaiming. Not only was they praising, but there was a great proclaiming. Luke chapter 2, verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. There again, I want you to see that. When they had seen it. When they had seen it. Why will people today not proclaim him? I'll tell you why. They haven't seen it. The shepherds would not have proclaimed it if they hadn't saw it. They saw the child. There was no doubt that Jesus was born. They had saw it with their eyes. They may have even reached down and touched him. I don't know if she would have let him or not. They were old dirty shepherds. But they had saw this thing, and they knew for certain what they had seen. And today, if you know for certain that you have seen God with the eyes of your heart, why in the world were we not proclaiming? You see, it's not just a shepherd's job, although they was given the first job, but it's everybody's job who has ever been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ to go and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Him. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. That means everywhere they went. Hey, they didn't hide this news nowhere. I believe if they went to the grocery store, they said, hey, did you hear about that baby that was born? I believe when they went to Walmart, they say, did you hear about that child that was born? Hey, it ain't just hearsay. I saw that baby. I believe they said, hey, when it was going down the street, they'd stop somebody. Did you hear about this child was born? If they was out in the field, they'd tell each other. You remember that time we saw him? They proclaimed it all abroad. They had something great to tell. The Savior had came. For 2,000 years, He's been using plain, not too smart shepherds to spread the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How shall they call on Him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I know what you're saying. Boy, you're bragging on yourself this morning because you're the preacher. Or you're bragging on Terry because he's a preacher. No, there again. You are called yourself to be a minister of the gospel. You might not be called to be a pastor and to pastor a church, but listen, if you've been saved and you know for certain what you've seen, you've been called to be a preacher and tell people, proclaim the gospel of this Savior that was born some 2,000 years ago, that lived a perfect life. By the way, he never sinned. He never was in no movie like Netflix is trying to make him in. He never done all those things. This was a perfect Son of God who lived a perfect life. He died a terrible death. And by the way, on the third day, he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what they seen. And that's what they proclaimed. The King has been born. You are to be a shepherd. You are to be as a shepherd's. Tell everybody you come in contact about this child that has born. Child that has been born. You say, well, surely everybody's heard that news. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. Not everybody's heard of Jesus Christ. You may think they have because we're living in 2020 almost, that everybody has heard, but not everybody has heard the good news of a Savior is born. Not everybody's heard that He's came to save the lost from their sins. Not everybody's heard. It's your job, and it's my job, to tell a lost and dying world what I have seen and what I have heard, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and He came to save sinners from themselves and from the very pits of hell. And He's still, that baby that was born, I mentioned He lived a perfect life. I mentioned He died, but did you also hear me mention that He rose again? And He rose again victorious, and guess what? Even today, thousands of years since then, I believe He's still alive. You say, well, where is He at? Well, the Bible says He's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me and you. He sit down beside the Father, and He goes to Him on mine and your behalf all the time, That's where he is. That's where he is. You can count on that today. Notice it says, when they had seen, today have you seen Jesus? Well, your heart. Have you seen him? Has the eyes of your heart laid eyes on the Savior? Without a shadow of a doubt this Christmas season, can you say, I know the Lord? Can you say, I have seen him? Our thing here is to know him and to make him known. Do you know him today? You see, those shepherds was only one of the very few at that point could say, I have seen the Lord. And they told everybody about it. But today we've got millions and millions of people that proclaim to have seen the Lord with their heart, claim to be saved, but I wonder, why in the world won't we proclaim it? I say it this way all the time. It's because we don't believe what we say we believe. If we believe what we say we believe, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, Jesus Christ is the only way people can be saved, if we believe that everybody that didn't have Christ would die and go to hell, may I tell you something? We would tell everybody about this baby. Everybody. I mentioned these firemen guys we have in our church. They get up all hours of the night to go run into buildings or houses or cars and get people out and take care of them. And the same people will do this. They'll give their life. They'll give their time and efforts. And many of us have got nurses and doctors and different things in our church. And we'll do everything to help people. But listen, the one thing we are so scared to death is to tell them about this baby. Not only will it save them from a fire, not only will it save them from their sins, but it'll save them from a place called hell for eternity if they too look upon this baby. You see, we see the place. Can't remember all my notes now. You see the place, you see the people, you see the praising, you see the proclaiming. This Christmas season, don't forget a single one of these. Because you see, if you take all these and break them down, what this is a picture of you. The Bible says in Corinthians, do you not know that you become a temple of God? You see, you are lowly. The Bible says your righteousness is filthy rags. This little baby still dwells in the Spirit of God in a lowly place called a human being. He comes to live inside each and every one of us at the moment we receive him. Today, if you don't know him, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. I'd love you to see this baby and what he meant and what he means. But guess what? Like I said at our Christmas play, he's not coming back as a lowly baby. The second return, he's a warrior. You need to read Revelations. My friend, today I wouldn't leave this place lost without Jesus. He says that he's going to return. He says he's not slack concerning his promise. He's been gone for 2,000 years, but a day is as 1,000 years with God. Time doesn't matter. He's going to return. If everyone would, please stand. I believe messages don't come for no reason at all. I believe God had somebody on his heart when he wanted me to preach the glorious birth of Christ and about the places and the praising and this. Let's just don't miss out on the importance of Jesus this season. As we're around our families, we're around our friends, maybe strangers, find a way to mention what you have seen. Find a way to mention what you have heard. You could be the very one that tells them about their Savior. How precious would that be at Christmas? You need to come today. You come as she plays.